Thanks the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Are you glad to be in church this morning?
Amen.
Amen. We could be many different places. We could be in the hospital room. Thank the Lord we're not. Just praise Him this morning. God's good. Y'all worship with me. I'm going to try and sing the Revelation song.
With all creation I see.
to come. Praise you, Jesus. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Worthy this morning.
Amen.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
If it's a foreign battlefield where I finally find your will, Lord, that's where I want to be. In the desert without a drink, on some old ship about to sink, Lord, I'll go if you'll just speak to me. Speak the word, Lord, my ears long to hear. Against the grain, and I recall those times you took me to my knees. But there's one thing I couldn't do, so I owe this thanks to you.
Thank you, Jesus.
For it was you, Lord, who took my cross to Calvary.
When God speaks, amen. The world was created, amen. Man was formed and fashioned. What a mighty, mighty God that we serve. If you love him this morning, let him know with a hand clap of praise. Give the Lord praise. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Going to ask our ushers if they would come forward this morning as we prepare to receive our Sunday morning offering and tithes. And you bless the Lord as God has blessed you. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning. Instead of playing an instrumental, we're going to sing, I believe it's number 92, Just a Little Talk with the Lord. How many knows it makes everything all right?
Amen.
Amen. So as we prepare after the song or after the prayer this morning, I'd ask you to stand. Not only can you worship the Lord better when you're standing, but you can reach your billfold better as well. Amen. So after the prayer, we'll ask you to stand. Amen. Brother Jim, would you bless the offering this morning with a prayer? Amen. Stand and give the Lord praise this morning. Number 92. Jesus has got it. Amen. Well, everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. How do I know that? Because I put my faith and trust in God. Amen. Good to see you this morning. How many's blessed? Praise the Lord. We are very, very blessed. Good to see you. Appreciate you being with us this morning. Our welcome goes out to all of our visitors. Let them know how much we love them, how glad we are that they came to worship the Lord with us this morning. Amen. And as always, let's just give the Lord a great hand of praise. Amen. Aren't we glad that Jesus is here? Amen. Praise God. Well, let's just get right into the message this morning. Amen. How many loves the Word of God? Amen. Go with us to the book of 2 Corinthians if you have your Bibles with you this morning. The Apostle Paul's writing here, very interesting, as he would not have always written this particular way. He knows that there was a change in the Apostle Paul. Not only the name change, amen, but conversion took place. Amen. Praise God. A dramatic conversion took place in Saul's life as he became Paul. Amen. So we're going to go to the fifth verse this morning, chapter number 17. One verse, and then you may be seated. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your greatness, your wonderful spirit, and your amazing grace. God, we're thankful for those who have gathered here this morning. We pray the anointing of the Holy Ghost. God, I pray that you would just anoint your messenger this morning. God, anoint these lips of clay. God, that we may speak only that you lay upon our hearts. Father, I pray that the message will go forth. I pray that we'll be obedient to your word and to your spirit. And Father, we do remember those who are sick this morning, those who are afflicted. Many could not make it. Many are traveling as well. Father, and we pray, God, that you would heal and anoint those who stand in need of prayer. Protect those, God, who are on the highways this morning. Again, Lord, we've got asked that you just have full control of this service, and we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Simply this morning, the message title would be A New Life. A New Life. I mentioned the Apostle Paul. Who better to write about a new life than the Apostle Paul? You know, Paul was doing everything in his energy and in his zeal, thinking that he was doing God's service. But in fact, he was not. He was working against God. But when the transformation took place, the road to Damascus, and God struck Paul down and he began to speak to him, and from that time on, Paul's life began to change. And in later times, when he was writing to the different churches that he would establish and start, many times he would use his own conversion as a type of testimony and message to those that he would bring the word to. I've often said, as we witness to people and testify, probably the greatest thing that we can share with them is our personal testimony. How that God, the Spirit of God, came into our lives and changed us for the better, by the way. I mean, he's thankful that God changed our lives. I mean, he's thankful that we answered the call of Christ when he called us. But so many times we think we have to recite or quote scriptures, and that's good. To be familiar, we need to be familiar with God's word. But many, many times a simple testimony about the conversion of your individual self, how that your life once was, and what a difference it made when Jesus came into your life, sometimes is exactly what that person needs to hear. And especially if they feel that they are going too far, or feel that they're past, amen, God's saving grace. And how many is thankful that you can't get past God's saving grace? It is immaculate and it is wonderful. But this is a powerful scripture of promise. When we begin to analyze this one particular verse, it is glorious and it's wonderful. And there's so much included in this particular verse. The entire chapter is great. But this one verse means so much in the conversion of souls. First of all, I want us to notice a very small word that is in that verse. The Apostle Paul writes, therefore, if. I want us to look at that word this morning. The Bible, or the dictionary, tells us that if is the introducing or condition or supposition. In other words, supposing something that could happen. Supposing something that could happen. It's the introduction of that. Paul includes this little word. And the reason he includes this little word is because, unfortunately, many people are not going to meet the condition. There is a condition to this new life. There is a condition to the transformation of the old man into the new man. So Paul says, therefore, if any man what? If any man join a church, if any man lives a good life, or if anyone strives within their own ability to be a good person. No. He says the condition is if any man be in Christ. That should be every person's desire. You know, so many people, including myself, have tried to change their life for the better within themselves. Every year it happens. After the Christmas season and the beginning of a brand new year, there are so many promises made. Very rarely are they all kept 100%. Often, many times, the new year's resolutions last about as long as the month of January. Because it is not in our ability to really change our life. Oh yeah, we can lay down old habits and begin to address new situations. We can say, I'm not going to be a part of this anymore, or I'm going to lay down this, or I'm going to strive to do better. But how many knows, according to the Word of God, that no matter how good our intentions are, in fact, no matter how good our actions are, there's no way we can have a life-changing experience outside of Christ being in us. Christ is the only thing that can make an old life become new. Christ is the only thing that can erase the sinful nature of mankind. Christ is the only thing that can give us the hope of glory and the hope of a brand new body and a brand new place that we're going to call home. How many is looking for that glorious home that Jesus Christ Himself has prepared for us? But there's an if there. There's an if. That's what the church's obligation is. It is to preach the if to the world. If you repent, if you confess, if you come to Jesus, if you ask Him to be Lord and Savior of your life, if you allow Him to lead you and to guide you, and if you accept the atonement of the blood sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, you can have a life-changing experience. You can be a new person in Christ, regardless of your past, regardless of what you was caught up in, regardless of how many times you was strung out on some particular substance or something. How many knows that the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost? You're thankful for the salvation of Jesus. Give Him praise this morning. You're praising the one, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I Am. Secondly, another small word. Many times we read, I will confess, read, trying to speed read, and sometimes just kind of block out the little words. I think they even teach that. You're just kind of getting the concept. You know, sometimes I like to slow down. I'd rather read one verse, analyze it, and understand it than to read an entire chapter just because I read it in 5 minutes. I like to slow down, hear what God is saying. How many knows when you read the Bible, you're hearing the voice of God? I've had so many people, Brother Eddie, how do you know when God speaks to you? Pick up His Word. Amen. Pick up His Word. He'll speak to you. He will speak to you in other vehicles, but the Word of God is there for us to take advantage of. The second word I want us to look at this morning is any. A-N-Y. Any. The dictionary says, means everyone who meets the condition. Glory to God. You know, the Bible tells us that it is not His will that any should perish. You know, sometimes we don't look at it that way. God, sanctify us. Help us not to prejudge people. Help us not to condemn people. Help us not to prematurely send them to hell. Come on, church. Church sometimes gets a bad reputation for being so judgmental and sending everybody to hell. I don't send anybody. I couldn't send anybody to hell. I'm trying to keep you from going to hell through the Word of God and through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ living within us, saving our soul, washing away those sinful natures of every one of us. Any. That includes everyone who meets the condition. What is the condition? Paul just said it. If any be in Christ. Not if any be in the church. You know what? Let me just say this. For all those people who have church religion, if getting you in the church building would save you, I would say, let's go right now. Grab them, bring them in. If you have to get them in a headlock, whatever you have to do, drag them in, lock the doors, get them saved. I'm going to tell you something, church. You can sit in church all day long and still lose your soul and go to that awful place called hell. But rather than be so concerned about, now we want you to come in and fellowship with us. We love that. But I can't stand in the pulpit with a straight face and tell you that'll save you. But when you are born again in Christ, it goes beyond the building. It goes beyond the pews. It goes beyond the light fixtures. You are born again in the heavenly kingdom of God Himself. Glory to God. You're a part of the body of Christ. That's the reason we become brothers and sisters in Christ. Not just because we're trying to be politically correct. We're trying to be spiritually correct. Hallelujah. And any means any. I'll tell you something. There's some innies walking the streets of Villarica right now. I didn't say guineas. I said innies. In fact, I would dare say, all you saints of God, pull your toes in a little bit. We may have passed one or two this morning. Hello? We may see one periodically two or three times a week. Don't even give them a second thought. But that's an any. Come on, that's an individual. That is a person. That is a possible saint of God. Hallelujah. I would assure you that many in the early church never thought Paul would ever have become born again, let alone begin to start churches, let alone begin to preach the Word of God, let alone begin to write the epistles that we are still reading and studying today. Let me tell you something. Never put chains on God's ability to save a soul. Never discount the fact that the very person that you pass may be the one that God is moving on now. And they can have a born again experience with the Lord and have a brand new life. Yes. If any be in Christ, he is a new creature. A new creature. I'll tell you something. Things change when Christ comes into our life. The world seems brighter. You know what? When I got born again, my mirror took on a brand new image. Let me tell you, the flesh was still ugly, but the spirit was beautiful. Right. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Mirror, mirror on the wall. When I look, don't you fall. It look
Here's what I'm talking about. I started liking what I saw, not the physical part. I liked the forgiveness part. Whew. When I said that, cold chills went all over me. Because nobody knows about the forgiveness of me. You know about the forgiveness of you, and it ought to excite you too. But when I looked in that mirror, I saw a new creature. Amen. Same old hairstyle, same old ugly face, but inside there had been a transformation. I was a new creature in God. Nothing that I had to do with it, but everything He had to do with it. He made things look better. Even that work that I did even looked better. Even my wife was more beautiful. That ought to tell some of you to give a reason to say, never mind. You preacher, you mean, if I get saved, my wife's going to be purer? Absolutely. Everything that God hath made is beautiful. Amen. We look too much to the outward and not looking to the innermost parts that Christ looks at. He's not so concerned about your outward. He's not concerned about your inward. He wants you to be born again. He wants to come on and take His abode. He doesn't want to be a visitor. He wants to be a permanent dweller of your soul and of your life, to come in and transform your thoughts, to transform your ways, to wipe away the sinful life that we all have lived before Jesus Christ came in. No wonder Paul said, I have become a new creature, not because I wanted to, but because God made me when I invited Him in. Yeah. Hallelujah. A new creature. All parts new. Overhaul. Completely. Praise God. You ever had any work done on an automobile or a truck and said, man, it runs like new? But it's not. It's going to run like new. You see, if we only relinquish parts of our life to Christ, we are not completely made new. If, in fact, we say, Lord, just come in and just kind of change my lifestyle. That's not completely committing to Christ. I don't know about you, but when I went in for an overhaul, Christ wanted to change everything about me. Now, I could have said, well, Lord, let's keep some of them things. But that's not completely made new. Unfortunately, people want to be saved from the world, but continue to operate in the world and do worldly things. I mean, he knows there's a spiritual line drawn there. Come on. We think that's the hard part. That's not the hard part. Come on. If you get everything about you, both flesh and mind and soul and spirit and your inward most self changed over completely, all brand new running parts, amen, not these refurbished parts. I don't know if I've talked to any mechanics today, but yeah. No, I don't want one of them rebuilt ones. I want a brand new one. Amen. And when I came to the altar, everything about me needed to be changed. I grew up in church, but everything about me needed to be changed. You know, my ways don't matter. God's ways matter. My thoughts don't matter. God's thoughts matter. His ways and His thoughts are so far beyond mine, I don't even have the ability to comprehend His ways. But all He asked me to do is come forward, repent, confess my sins, ask Him to come into my life, to fill my life, to make me a brand new person. Paul said that's what the new life is all about. Complete transformation. A new life. Old things. I have a tendency to collect old things. Sometimes I'm thinking, when I'm looking at old things, that the price has increased on old things. My first thought is, I should have saved more old things. They would have been worth something now. Because some of the things that I had years and years ago would have been several years old now and probably been worth something. But you know, that's not the equation that Christ has laid out and for us to obey. He does not want us holding on to old things, because he is going to make all things new. Every thought, every feeling, every sinful nature that we had, he wants to wash those away. And let me tell you, one of the biggest obstacles that a Christian has today, especially a new convert, is after they come to Christ, after they lay everything on the altar and they ask Jesus Christ to come in as Lord, oh, it's a glorious feeling, a wonderful feeling. I've never talked or heard anybody say, I felt bad after I received Christ. It's always, I felt good. I never in my life felt this good before. Why? Because you've just been rebuilt, spiritually rebuilt with Christ. But so many times, after a few days, the adversary comes and says, well, what about the way you used to live? What about those things you've done in your life? You think God is pleased with that? How can you go into a place of worship and raise your hands knowing the kind of life that you have lived? And many times, new converts and sometimes seasoned saints begin to listen to him. Well, you know, you're probably right. I'm probably not worthy. Ain't none of us worthy. And then we remember those things. But Paul said, wait a minute. All things are become new. Old things are passed away. That was part of the old man. Come on. I'm not there anymore. Come on. How many is glad you spiritually moved to a brand new vessel? Glory to God. It may look the same, but that on the inside is now of God. And we need to forget those things behind us and press toward that mark that is in front of us and live the holy and sanctified life that the Spirit of the Lord dwelling within us causes us to do. Quit beating yourself up for your past. If you give your past to Christ, then it washes away. Somebody in here ought to put their hands together. I'm going to be one. Thank God that the old man is gone. The old sinful life, the old lifestyle, all of that have passed away. And then he says, all things, everything about us becomes new. Becomes new. I was interested in the word becomes. And let me try to give you an analogy of that if I can. Paul did not say, and I understand this, that old things are passed away and we become a new person. But sometimes it's sort of a process, if you know what I mean. I don't mean it's a process of getting more saved or getting more filled with the Spirit. But it's learning to live and operate in this newness. And I'm not saying this except just to use this as an analogy. And please don't feel like you have to give me a compliment after church, because that's not the reason I'm saying this. But I have a brand new pair of shoes this morning. And they're becoming new. Wait a minute. They may look a little better than the old shoes, but they still don't feel quite as good as the old shoes. So if I look like I'm stumbling around this morning, I'm becoming new in these shoes. Sometimes when we're automatically converted by the grace of God, our sins are forgiven, we stumble a little bit because this is a new life. And I'm walking in new shoes. I'm not used to these new shoes. And sometimes the one wants to go the other way, and this one wants to go that way. You know what I mean? Come on, man. A preacher has not broken a good pair of shoes until he kneels in the altar. That breaks them in right. Sometimes a Christian has not fully received the wonderful nature of a brand new life in Christ until it has been tried, until it has been tested, until he has bowed on his knees and got comfortable in the new spirit and the new life that God has instilled in us. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Lord, for this brand new life you have given me. Hallelujah. Because all things, everything about us becomes or begins to be new. Case in point, new convert, just filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Just went out of the church, just glorifying, praising God. Monday morning, first of all, the coffee wasn't ready. Your favorite shirt wasn't ironed, or your dress was still at the cleaners, and you jump in the car. One of the tires is slack. I don't know that because they've got a little indicator, but you take on your merry way anyway. Every stupid traffic light between you and the office is red and holding. You get mad, you stop a little too quick, the coffee spills, naturally. You get in. Your supervisor's never there, but this morning, they're standing there looking at you. And they give you the smirkiest look and one of the nastiest responses that you could ever hear. And you're fixing to unload on them, and you happen to think, whoa, 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 whoa. That's the old me. So you look him square in the face, or her, whoever that supervisor might be, and they say, you better be thankful I'm born again. And that ain't enough, because if I wasn't, I guarantee you, I'd give you a piece of my mind, but I'm born again. I'm a new person. I don't do that anymore. Amen. It may not be to that extent, but I guarantee the Holy Ghost will check you.
Amen.
Because you're different. I said, you're different. Amen. Why? Because that that is within you is holy. That that is within you is righteous. That that is within you has saved you, filled you, and promised you an eternal home in glory. And he's also said, I'll walk with you a daily, never leave you nor forsake you. So you're becoming new in Christ. Each and every opportunity, it is an opportunity to let Jesus shine forth in your life. Everything begins to be different. Paul is merely describing his conversion. What happened to him after accepting Christ. In another place, the apostle writes in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, verses 22 through 24. Same subject matter, different church, different group of people. He tells them that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. You ever caught yourself saying, you know what? The old me wouldn't have handled that like that. But thank God for the new me. And I'm going to share something a little bit later with you. A lot of folks say, well, some Christian, I can't get mad. No, that's not what it says. It says just don't sin when you get mad. See, when God was revamping me, he tempered me some. Hello? Come on. Well, you all, we've been there. Man, get angry. Just don't sin about it. But you put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt. Come on. He's corrupt. According to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, let me share with you what that means. You're born again. Thank God. Old things have passed away. This is a physical thing, but a spiritual thing happens. You put on the new man, right? Not talking outward. I'm talking about the spirit that we now put on. Don't stick your hand in your pocket. Stick it in a sleeve like that. And you put on the new man. And you're walking in righteousness and holiness until you need to slip the coat off. Many times we want to take that coat of righteousness off and we're going to hang it on the doorpost a minute and do what we need to do and then put it back on. No, that's not the concept. And I take some, you know, we're becoming new. We're striving each and every day. We're going to mess up? Sure, we're going to mess up. Man, but the thing about the Spirit of the Lord that within us, when we mess up now, it gets on our conscience. It upsets us. And we get it right. The old man could care less. The old man don't care what you think about what he says. I mean, knows a person like that. Pray for him. I said, pray for him. What are we going to do? I ain't getting around them. I despise them. Pray for him. Amen. God loves them too. He just doesn't love them to be in the situation that they're in now. But we want to take that part off and put on the old man again. But we can't do that. When we put on the new man, the old man, Paul said, is corrupt and deceitful and lustful. But the new man walks in righteousness and true holiness. The only thing holy about us is that is within us. The same spirit. Man, this is called the comforter that Jesus Christ himself said, I won't leave you comfortless, but I'll send a comforter in my name. How many's thankful for that? I depend on that comforter daily in my life. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And that's a good message, a wonderful message. And we love that message. But then Paul gets a little more direct. And he begins to list some of the attributes of a born-again experience of a new life. Praise God. I like that. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Amen. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. He bathed my heart in love, and he wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Hey, man, why is that so difficult for people to understand? You know, a lot of people say, man, when I get my life straight, when I get my life in order, preacher, I'm going to come to church. It don't work that way. Come to Christ first. Let him straighten out your life. And then it'll be straight. Amen. That new man. You'll have a brand new life. And then Paul says, here's some of the things that we are to do, are not to do, when we become a new person in Christ. Wherefore, putting away lying. That's a given, isn't it? We know, man, that God does not want us to lie. I don't care if it is a little white one. Come on. Who put a color on a lie? Somebody that was still living an old lie. Well, God, this ain't real bad. Tell you something plain. The little things will become big things. And the Bible also says it's the little foxes that spoil the little thing. Oh, God, you understand. You know me. I'm just that way. Put it away. Put it away. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're the same member whether you love me or not. Hey, amen. You can choose your friends, but you're stuck with your family. Come on. Neither give place. Oh, wait a first. First of all, be ye angry. Somebody thinks that's a commandment. It's not. It's a hypothetical. God told me to get mad. He says it, be ye angry. No. Brother Chris, that's a hypothetical. If you be angry, not go out and get angry. Yeah, God said it. Don't be get mad. Get be angry. No. If you be angry, sin not. Sin not. Man. How many knows what a thermometer is? Don't let that anger thermometer peek out. When it goes, just kind of chill and calm. Somebody should count to 10. Never helped me. That's the best way I learned to count to 100, by the way. Let that thing ease back down. Back off. Sometimes the greatest thing you can do, and please don't be offended with this, sometimes the greatest thing you can do is shut up. Don't respond. Back off. Think about it. Pray about it. And as you turn your back, just mouth whatever you wanted to say. God is a forgiving God. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Boy, we could preach a message there. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. I think we got that one down. I'm not going to get political. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let me tell you a joke I heard the other day. I didn't know. You know, let me just tell you something. You know, jokes are, that's fine. I mean, we're supposed to be good-natured and all, but let me tell you something about an off-color joke. Told in a circle of so-called friends that you've been witnessing to and living a life for Christ, they're not going to remember all the good things that you've done, the good words that you've had. You know what they're going to remember?
Hey, guess who told me that joke?
And they think they're a Christian. They're looking for a reason. Not that that little joke's going to send you to hell. That's not what I'm talking about. But you just destroyed your testimony. Because that's all they're going to, and that's their fault. Because the world is already looking at the church saying, if that's the church, I don't want to be a part of that. They're looking at the wrong thing. They're never looking at the goodness and the wonderful things that come out of the church service or out of come of a Christian or the wonderful things. That's never talked about. But boy, you slip up one time and it's all over town. It's the reason we have to be very, very careful. Amen. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. That ought to bring a shout to the church. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Would you just lift your hand if you've been forgiven by God and just give him a wave offering of thankfulness? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, for everything, for all the past, for the sinful life, for the disobedience, God, for the unruliness in my life, God, for the many times I failed you, but you loved me anyway. You loved me through all of that adversity. You loved me even when I wasn't living for you, Lord, and you brought me to an altar of confession. You brought me to my knees in repentance. You filled me with your Holy Spirit. Father, I love you and I thank you for the new life that you have given me. Hallelujah. One, in fact, that I did not deserve, but through your grace, you saw fit to give me. Don't judge your new life by the material things that you have, by the number of friends that you may have in your circle, but rather judge that new life by the amount of the Spirit of the Lord that is within us, and by the forgiveness of the old man which we have put off. Have we really put on that new life in that new man this morning? I pray that everyone here under the sound of my voice has in fact done that. If not, how many knows there's still hope? Amen. Amen. God is still a forgiving God. He's a righteous God. And he's a God that doesn't, like we forgive, but sometimes we don't forget. But our precious Lord and Savior not only forgives us, but he forgets our past. Amen. Not to be brought up again. Because through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and that's what it takes. Man, let's be honest. The Bible is very plain about the redeeming power of the blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrificial lamb, the Son of God, the only one who was ever in a fleshly body that never sinned, never had guile or deceit in his mouth, became that sacrificial lamb. Why? Because none of us could. Not a one of us qualified. Not a one of the patriarchs of old. David, a man after God's own heart. Abraham, the friend of God. Moses, who was that great leader. Not a one of them qualified to be the sacrificial lamb of God. It took the Son of God himself to shed his blood for you and for me to be able to have a new life. Are you thankful for the new life that God has given you this morning? Would you stand? With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Is there one that would search your heart and your soul this morning? He said, Brother Eddie, you know what? I've tried it my way. My way's not working real good. I need the Lord to come in and have full control of my life. Whether you're saved, whether you've been a church member for years, or whether you're still uncertain about your life, now is the time to get it right. Now is the time to remove all uncertainty and know without a shadow of a doubt that when you leave those doors today, that you are ready through the blood of Jesus Christ to meet him should he come or should he call. Not to really scare or alarm you, but many people who are expecting to live a long and wonderful life are dying before the age of 40 or 50 years old. Many young folks are dying, unfortunately, in accidents, some by sickness and affliction. My hope and prayer is when we lose this final breath, that everyone here is ready to meet the Lord. Please, with every head bowed, every eye closed, this altar is open. If you would come forward, we give you this opportunity. While no one's looking, if you would like for this pastor to pray for you, just lift your hand up. No one look around. It'd just be me and you. And I see those precious hands, and God sees them. And we'll be praying for you. My hope and desire as a pastor is to see every single one of you in heaven. Praise God. If you need prayer for your body, please come forward. We'll pray with you this morning.
Or if you have a special need. Sir. Hallelujah. How many know God is a healer?
Amen.
Amen. Not only can he restore that spirit, but he can restore that flesh too. Amen. With his stripes, the Bible says, we are healed. Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come on behalf of our brother this morning, God, we anoint him knowing, God, that you are the healer of our body. Father, we know, Lord, that you can speak the word right now. God, in the affliction, the sickness, the situation in his body can be made whole. Father, I pray, God, for a complete overhaul right now. Touch him, strengthen him, anoint him. Lord, right now, we're believing, God, in a mighty touch and a miracle for Brother Kevin right now. Speak the word, Lord, that he might be made whole. Strengthen his word. Touch him in Jesus' name, I pray. Glory to God. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Praise you. Thank you.
to the stand. God's saving grace, the blood was presented that covered my sins. That's when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case and called you. God's saving grace, the blood was presented that covered my sins. Forgiven when mercy walked in. I stood there and wondered, could this be that someone so guilty had just been set free? My hands were all broken. I felt born again.
To the stand, God save.
forgiven when mercy walked in.
God is so great.
Bible says greatly to be praised.
Man, I know He's the great. Sometimes I feel like we fail to praise Him enough. Amen. He is a great God. Love each and every one of you. May you be blessed today. Hope to see you back tonight at 6 o'clock. And then praying for a mighty move of God. Remember those who are lost and undone today. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how we love you. How we thank you, God, for your Spirit, for the anointing that we feel in this place. God, for those who came forward, for the healing of their bodies. Father, we know that with the stripes of Jesus, we are healed and made whole. Father, our heart goes out to so many this morning, God, who's still lost, many unconcerned. Pray for a great revival, God, that you would move upon this land, upon this nation, and upon this world to bring lost souls into the kingdom of heaven. Go with us now, God, as we depart. Keep us safe from all harm and danger. Till we meet again, we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Glory to God.